Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Breast cancer has taken the lives of many Native American and Alaska Native women. Today, we are taking a moment to visit with those that are working to get the word out to Native women about the dangers of breast cancer. What would you like to add to the discussion? We invite you to join us and share your stories, too. What would you like others to know about preventing breast cancer? Stay tuned. National Native News is next.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonia Gonzalez. The King County Sheriff's Office in Washington State is waiting on statements from two deputies involved in the shooting death of a woman on the Muckleshoot Indian Reservation Friday. The Seattle Times reports the deputies are afforded 72 hours to present their statements after shooting 23-year-old Renee Davis. The two men are on administrative leave pending an investigation. The shooting came after Davis's boyfriend contacted deputies wanting to check on her welfare. He said Davis told him she was suicidal and had a handgun. The deputies went to her address and saw children in the house, but no one answered the door. The Times reports the shooting happened in a back bedroom. Davis was the mother of three children, and a friend tells the paper she was 5 months pregnant at the time of the shooting. Dakota Access Pipeline protesters are in the process of setting up a new camp on private property purchased by pipeline developers. The Bismarck Tribune reports about 200 people are setting up teepees and tents on the property, saying they are claiming it through an 1851 treaty. Law enforcement officials say the new camp is illegal, but have so far not made attempts to remove anyone from the property. Enduring the snow and sub-zero temperatures of the pending North Dakota winter is on the minds of a lot of people intent on keeping the pipeline resistance momentum going. Reporter China Lockett talked with some of those who say they're in for the long haul.
The campsite of the Dakota Access Pipeline protest is filled with tents and teepees. As winter approaches, the nights are beginning to freeze, and some people are reinforcing their shelters to keep warm. These temporary homes that stand on the Army Corps of Engineer land may soon be replaced by more permanent ones for those protesters who plan on staying rather than moving to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Andrew White Mountain, a Standing Rock Sioux tribe member, says he's using his years of carpentry experience to build tiny houses for campers.
So basically, you use the same kind of lumber and materials that you use to build a regular home. It's just like something that will house maybe between 4-6 people. I do have a few ideas that I'm going to build into the tiny houses. And yes, trust me, I'll make them very secure.
White Mountain says the number of campers has fluctuated over the past few months, but he thinks they will dwindle as winter approaches. But those planning on staying are preparing by insulating teepees and making more durable structures. One example is the Oglala Lakota Sioux Kitchen, a wooden building that sits in a hole dug into the ground. Dorothy Sunbear is an elder from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation who works in the kitchen.
We feed twice a day, breakfast and supper. We feed a lot of people. Last night we fed 400 people, and this morning for breakfast we fed about the same amount.
Sunbear says her tribe provided the camp with materials to help them cook in winter weather conditions. She plans on staying until the end, no matter how long it takes. For National Native News, I'm China Lockett in Rapid City.
The Navajo Nation is planning on getting into the industrial hemp business. Forbes reports tribal officials signed their first contract with the firm Canna Native to start a hemp crop. The Navajo Nation originally announced plans to start a hemp crop two decades ago, but the idea ran afoul of federal officials who said such a venture is illegal. Navajo officials have since amended tribal laws to allow hemp cultivation. Hemp is related to the plant that produces marijuana, but has only a small amount of the chemical that produces a high in people who smoke or consume it. Hemp is used in making textiles, paper, and other products. The retail chain Spirit Halloween is refusing to pull costumes that many Native Americans deem offensive. Stores are selling garb with names like Indian Princess, Noble Warrior, and Queen of the Tribe. In Nebraska, the Lincoln Journal-Star reports one store clerk originally removed the costumes after complaints, but the company's corporate office ordered her to place the items back on the shelves. The clerk had to take pictures of the costumes on public display and send them to the company's New Jersey headquarters to prove she complied. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Breast Cancer Awareness Month encourages people to wear pink to help raise awareness. Perhaps you're someone who has put on your pink to show solidarity for those whose lives have been touched by this cancer. In our Native Nations, healthcare professionals understand there's a need for more breast cancer awareness. They also know that many Native women are getting diagnosed too late and lives are lost. Today, we'll talk about some of this and hope you'll join the discussion. Our phone lines are open now, and the number is 1-800-99-NATIVE. And would you like to see more lives saved from breast cancer? And when it comes to surviving this cancer, what advice do you have? Our phone lines are open. You can also dial 1-800-996-2848 to share your voice. And joining us today from White River, South Dakota, is Captain Suzanne England. She is the maternal and child health consultant for the Great Plains region of the Indian Health Service. It's our pleasure to welcome Captain England to the hour, and I also understand you go by Suzanne. Suzanne, it is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for the privilege of speaking to your listeners today.
And Suzanne, when we think about this, and I know a lot of awareness has been brought, you see pink in many places, you see people talking about it on social media. And so, you know, we really want to open the conversation further. But before we hear about what people are doing to get the word out, let's talk a little bit on exactly what breast cancer is and how does it differ from others?
Breast cancer is just like any other cancer. It's a rapid development of cells each month. We make new skin cells throughout our body, and when the cells rapidly divide and grow more quickly than they should, it pushes out the healthy tissue and makes the tissue malfunction. With breast cancer being very common, it's because of screening. The more we screen, the earlier the detection, and that we can treat breast cancer.
And Suzanne, how many people do you think know just the basics of what you just shared, of what it is and how it affects the body?
I think not enough people know. And as all healthcare providers continue to spread the word, and on this call show today, as people listen in, as they spread the word to their family and friends, is go visit their community health center, their primary care provider, find out how to better take care of themselves, different types of screenings they can do to keep themselves healthy, and get screening mammography.
And when it comes to your work and the organization, why is this a priority?
All women count. Every woman counts, and every woman lost to breast cancer, that is someone's mother, daughter, auntie, sister, friend. And that's why it's important.
All right. Thank you for that. And Suzanne will be with us the full hour. Folks, maybe you have some specific questions for her. You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we're also going to bring in another voice, too. Joining us from Ann Arbor, Michigan, is Dr. Marilyn Rubidoux. And she is a breast imaging radiologist at the University of Michigan. And she's on the board of directors at the American Indian Health and Family Services Clinic of Detroit. She is also an enrolled member of the Iowa Tribe. It's our pleasure to have Dr. Rubidoux with us, too. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to speak about my favorite topic, which is breast cancer screening.
And why is it your favorite topic to talk about?
Because I remember I'm pushing almost 70 years old, and I remember the days when I was young, a child or a teenager, and I would hear about women who got breast cancer in those days, and they all died. Nobody survived breast cancer, or it was rare to survive breast cancer back in the so-called olden days, the 40s, the 50s. The women all were dying of it. And then screening came along in about the 1970s, and that changed everything, screening and better treatments for breast cancer. So nowadays, 90% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer will survive and not die of it.
And Dr. Rubidoux, when we think about our Native populations, the statistics, they say different things, and they say different things at different times. And trying to understand where we stand as Native nations can get a little confusing. Dr. Rubidoux, what would you like to share about, you know, how prevalent this is and why it's taking lives in our Native nations?
Well, thank you for asking that question. One of the really interesting things about breast cancer in Native populations is that the prevalence, in other words, how common it is, varies a lot from tribe to tribe. So that if you look at the statistics on the southwestern part of the United States, the Navajo and Hopi have low prevalence of breast cancer. But elsewhere in the United States, the other tribes have, and also especially Alaska, the tribes have a prevalence of breast cancer that is similar to that of non-Native women. And furthermore, in Native tribes, other than the southwestern United States, breast cancer seems to be hitting the younger women even more than the older women. Generally, the average age when you get breast cancer is 60, but it's younger than that in our Native people. So that's why screening is important for women younger than 60.
And folks, just hearing that, what's your reaction? We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And is awareness happening in your community when it comes to breast cancer? 1-800-99-NATIVE is our number. You can also send us a tweet. That's our Twitter handle. Let's go ahead and take our first call. We're going to say hello to Cyrus in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Cyrus, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Thank you so much, Tara Gatewood. I really enjoy your show, and I just wanted to say one quick thing about something that I've noticed, which is that a lot of people talk about cancer awareness, and I know that's really important, but one thing that I feel like gets skipped over is the cancer prevention, because there's lots of products that we use every day that actually have been proven to have cancer-causing things in them. So I just wanted to maybe bring that to light and see if anyone had anything to say about that. So thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus. Let's turn to our guests. Suzanne, anything to start us off with?
With cancer prevention activities, some of the things that our listeners can do is perform routine breast exams, establish care with a primary care provider, have ongoing visits just for screening opportunities, not just coming in when ill. Also talk to your primary care provider about your possible risk factors for breast cancer and your screening options, especially screening mammography. Other things are a healthy lifestyle, exercise, eating a good variety of fruits and vegetables from all the food groups, and that have a plan, too, if there's problems for further care. And again, talking with your primary care provider about your options and your concerns about your health.
All right. Thank you for that. And folks, any thoughts on this? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Dr. Rubidoux, your thoughts.
One of the strongest things that you can do to prevent breast cancer, in addition to what Suzanne had to say, is exercise, 30 minutes a day will cut your risk of breast cancer by half. It's very powerful. Also, trying not to gain a lot of weight in life, trying to eat fruits and vegetables and not become overweight will also decrease your risk of breast cancer.
And how does that work by doing these things? Are you helping your body so that cells don't multiply? Or why is this advice given?
Well, they don't exactly know all the mechanisms, but part of it has to do with estrogen. Estrogen is the natural hormone that women all have. Now, as you know, it's very rare for men to get breast cancer, and they get it when they're pretty old if they do get it. But breast cancer is very common among women, and this is related to estrogen. So estrogen is a complicated chemical, and there's a lot of complicated hormones in your body. And something about exercise and something about losing weight affects how the estrogen is utilized in the breast. So I don't know the exact mechanism of what happens, except that it seems that cancer cells generally like estrogen and estrogen promotes them. But when you eat the right foods and when you exercise, it seems to control your estrogen and get it to function in the proper way instead of feeding cancer.
And Dr. Rubidoux, to go to our caller's comments, too, about it being linked to products, you can Google breast cancer, and you find a lot of references to it, everything from associating it to a certain kind of bra you wear to different products you use, even down to deodorant. Is there any thought on this, or do you have any thoughts on why people are linking some of this together?
I've heard of these things for many years, such as deodorant and bras, and none of that research has seemed to have turned out to be valid yet at this point in time, so I don't know of any definite linkages like that that would prevent breast cancer, or we would certainly have the scientific evidence to show it. But I think these are more like urban legends rather than being actual inducers of breast cancer.
All right. And, you know, it's great to have discussions like this because you can just, you know, bring some of this out and talk about it. Folks, any more thoughts you want to add? Maybe other myths you've heard about breast cancer, why it happens? Anything you want to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls. And if you have information or maybe you're working on a study and you're excited to share information, give us a ring, too. We want to hear. 1-800-996-2848. Folks, we got another caller on the line. We're going to say hello to Cindy in Gallup, New Mexico, tuned in on KGLP. Cindy, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Hi. In 2013, I went in for a physical, and everything was great, and then they said, we'll do the mammogram, and they found it early. And I honestly believe early detection will save you. It's your fear of it. The word cancer just sends fear through you, but your fear is what will kill you. But if you go in and get your screening, and, you know, people say, well, I don't have cancer in our family, and it will, cause it does show up. And most people, I was always told, oh, if you breastfed your children, you won't get it. I don't think that's true, you know. It just showed up, and it did. But I honestly believe early detection will save you. Don't be afraid to go get your checkup. It does help.
All right. Thank you for that. And I want to go ahead and go to Minneapolis, Minnesota right now to bring in Donis Chosa. She's the community outreach specialist at the American Indian Center or Indian Cancer Foundation, and she's from the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa. It's our pleasure to have Donis on the line. Donis, welcome to the hour.
Thank you for having me on your show today.
Indeed. And Donis, I wanted you to just kind of think about that. Our caller just talking about this being in the family. Any thoughts on this and why, if you know there is a history of breast cancer in your family, why you have to be a little more vigilant, or you need to be on board with thinking about this?
I think it's definitely crucial that if it is, runs in your family, just like any of the guidelines say, if it does run in your family, that you should, that is considered an increased risk and that you should get your screenings done. I know at the American Indian Cancer Foundation, we follow the American Cancer Society guidelines, and that gives the option to begin screening at 40 years old, and we do advise women to take advantage of that option, especially if they have a family history of it.
And when you heard Cindy talking about and stressing the importance of early screening, you know, how did that make you feel?
That made me actually feel good that that people out there do know the importance of early screening, and it's definitely something that we stress here.
And are these the kind of dialogues you hope are happening, maybe even under the same roof or within the same family?
Yes, definitely. This, I feel like this kind of dialogue is very important. It's something that we talk about often here with the work that we do, even among other cancers as well, just because cancer prevalence is so high in our communities.
And the word was also mentioned earlier, fear. Fear in finding out. Fear in getting testing. What would you like to say about that, Donis?
Well, I think it just comes down to stigma around cancer and screenings, and it's that people don't want to admit that they could get it, let alone go in to get screened for the disease. And if they're diagnosed, they have this label on them, which nobody really wants. And even some people think of it as taboo, where if you don't talk about breast cancer, you won't get it, and if you do, you will. So people just don't really talk about it just because of that fear, especially people in our communities.
And a lot of times when this is the situation, a lot of times people figure out pathways or sometimes even turn to tradition. And I've heard some folks in the health arena using it as talking about this and making sure you're healthy is actually living in a good way, which, you know, we can definitely see relationships to that in our teachings as Native people. Donis, anything you want to share about maybe even turning to our ways as Native people to understand this, to support, and maybe even prevent it?
I think that's very important. Going back to our traditional ways, I believe that has a lot of, we have a lot of spiritual connections in that way. Even back when, I have to bring this up, there wasn't an actual word for cancer, and I think it's because it's something that our ancestors didn't have back then. We didn't have these diseases that we have today because of our diets and the way we used to live and the way we used to use tobacco and things like that. We lived off the land and hunted and gathered our own food, and all of our food, it wasn't processed, it was natural. So I believe that returning back to our traditional ways is definitely will lower that risk of getting breast cancer.
Sure. And folks, maybe you also have any thoughts on this. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you have any questions, you can call in and ask away too. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to say hello to Karen in Spokane, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. Karen, thank you for giving us a ring, and understand you have a question.
Yes, I directed to the doctor, of course. I wanted the doctor to kind of explain the importance of breastfeeding for mothers, and especially extended breastfeeding in helping reduce the risk of breast cancer. I think that's a very important topic to discuss, and I think mothers and women of all ages should know how important that is and how that does help reduce the risk of breast cancer.
All right. Thank you for that, Karen. Dr. Rubidoux, let's start with you.
Yes, you're correct that the more children you breastfeed and the longer you feed them, that's directly proportional to decreasing your risk. So if you had 8 children and you could breastfeed all of them, that will really dramatically decrease your risk. It's not absolutely preventive, though, so women still need to be screened even if they have done a lot of breastfeeding in their life. And a lot of times women don't get the opportunity to breastfeed. Not everybody can do it. And not everyone is having many children to give them the opportunity to breastfeed for a long time either. So we still need our screening to be able to detect the breast cancer early. But you're right about breastfeeding being effective in decreasing risk.
All right. Thank you for that question, too, Karen. If you have a question, call in and ask 1-800-99-NATIVE. Suzanne, anything you want to add?
Yes. In the Indian Health Service, all of the delivering hospitals have been designated as baby-friendly hospitals, which means we promote skin-to-skin right after birth and breastfeeding. Many of our nurses in the Indian Health Service have received additional training to become lactation educators, and some are lactation consultants, and that is an important focus in the maternal and child health in the Indian Health Service is the promotion of breastfeeding.
And Suzanne, earlier we were talking about what if there is a prevalence of breast cancer in your family. I also wanted to give you a moment to share your thoughts on that, too, about, you know, being aware if it's in your family and how do you handle that?
That's important to sit down and talk with family members, have an honest discussion about health care conditions that are seem to be known in families, and also going back to having a primary care provider, whether they're a medical MD or they're a nurse practitioner or they're a physician's assistant, and sitting down having regular discussions of just how can I keep my health self-healthy, have screenings and regular visits, and screening especially for breast cancer prevention is screening mammography. And if a person has a higher risk, there's different risk categories of when people should initiate earlier screening. In the Indian Health Service, we follow the recommendations of the United States Preventive Task Force, and what that states is from age 50 to 74 is to get mammograms every 2 years, but if you have a higher risk, is to go in and speak with your primary care provider, determine what's the best screening methods and at what times is for you to keep you healthy.
All right, thank you for that. And folks, as you're hearing some of this, does any of it sound familiar? Are these things you've heard in your own doctor's office, maybe sitting in somebody close to you, sitting in their living room as you started to discuss what it means to be living with breast cancer? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. What else is missing from this conversation? 1-800-996-2848. And when you hear about the high prevalence of breast cancer, even in your own community, how does that make you feel? Are there any initiatives to try and save more lives? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And what do you think? A whole month put aside to bring more awareness to this. If you got anything to say about awareness campaigns connected to breast cancer, you can also tell us about it too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you just want to make a comment online, you can go to our website, nativeamericacalling.com. And you can also post on Facebook or send us directly a tweet. 1-800-99-NATIVE is our Twitter handle. And it's also the number to dial in. And so go ahead and do it. We're ready for your call. It's that time of year when a large number of teachers bring out their Native American lesson plans in preparation of the Thanksgiving holiday season. In efforts to get kids fully immersed in their studies, some teachers call for costumes in the classroom. We'll hear one family struggle with this on the next Native America Calling.
Cachet, Medicare Part D is your prescription for a healthy life. Anyone with Medicare Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up for or switch your Part D plan during open enrollments from October 15th to December 17th. For more information, visit Medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Elakwa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And has breast cancer touched your life? Give us a call and share your story. You can join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And in the first half, we heard a little bit about this type of cancer, how it affects the body, and a couple of views on what it means to understand how this is affecting our Native nations. If there's more you want to share, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And how knowledgeable are you on breast cancer? And why? Is it because your loved one is a survivor? Are you a survivor? You can give us a call, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And also, what is the best advice? What is the worst advice when it comes to talking to somebody who is a cancer survivor? What about helping them as they face it? Give us a ring. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number. With us today, we got a panel of guests who understand a lot about this and are also working to create more awareness on this on the line. We have Dr. Marilyn Rubidoux, and she is a breast imaging radiologist at the University of Michigan, and she's also an enrolled member of the Iowa Tribe. Also on the line, we have Captain Suzanne England, maternal and child health consultant for the Great Plains region of the Indian Health Service. And also on the line, we have Donis Chosa. She's the community outreach specialist at the American Indian Cancer Foundation, and she is from the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa. And folks, if you have any questions for any of these folks, give us a ring, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to start with Johnny in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Johnny, thank you for your call. And what would you like to share?
I'd like to share that men can also get breast cancer. I've had a couple of my friends that got it, and they surprised a lot of other people with that. And also, in terms of the running in families, I think a lot of times families are dining together and, you know, they make the same recipe that mom made or that grandma made, and it, you know, just goes on and on, where I think there's so many contaminants in our environment. And when people are eating certain types of food, they've always done it that way, and I think that's why it runs in families so much at the time. So many different diseases are regarded as family run. And it's not just genetics. I think a lot of it's environmental. So
sure.
That's it.
All right. And Johnny, before you go, when we do talk about creating more awareness on this, you mentioned men and those who also have faced breast cancer. Johnny, do you think they ever get left out of the conversation or some of this awareness that's being spread on preventing breast cancer?
I think most times they are left out, and it's difficult to access healthcare providers that are adequately informed and would broach such topics. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's very frustrating. Our whole world needs to be rebuilt. But
all right, Johnny, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today here in Albuquerque. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. Let's go ahead and take another call. We're going to say hello to Ozzy in Anchorage, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Ozzy, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hi, good morning. Good morning to everybody and to the rest of our families out there, especially to the water protectors. Anyhow, my question is, I heard of these, you know, cancer is prevalent, as you probably guys are aware, but I lost my brother to cancer a few years ago. But my question is, I heard of these comments about alkaline levels, whether it's positive or negative. And I heard that if there's too much positive alkalinity in our body, that's a good host. And I could be wrong, you could correct me. That's a good host for a number of diseases, including cancer, to appear. And that's my question. And if there's any known remedies to take away some of the if there's too much of positive alkalinity in our chemistry of our body, if there's ways to decrease that.
All right. Thanks for bringing that up, Ozzy. Great to hear from you. Let's hear from Dr. Rubidoux. Dr. Rubidoux, do you have anything for Ozzy?
Yes, fruits and vegetables are the magic things that do help with what you're talking about the balance of alkaline and acidity in the body. And there is very good proof coming forth that especially vegetables, but also fruits, are very good in preventing many cancers, not just breast cancer. And furthermore, trying to decrease the amount of non-vegetable fat that you eat is good, like to try to not eat too much fat and to eat healthy proteins. But these are ways that by changing your diet, you can change what will happen in your life. And this is true for prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, many other cancers as well. So I thought what you had to say was a good point.
Indeed. And that's why, folks, if you got that burning question or it made you think of something, call in. Share your thoughts. 1-800-996-2848. We are talking about breast cancer today. And right now we're going to turn the discussion to a survivor. And again, folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go to Bayfield, Wisconsin to say hello to Mardella Gustafson. And she is the co-leader of the Red Cliff Cancer Support Group. She's a 6-year breast cancer survivor, and she is from the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Indians. It's our pleasure to have Mardella with us. Mardella, thank you for being on the line.
Sure. I'm happy to be here.
And Mardella, why is it important that, you know, we can give statistics, we can talk about the medical side of this, but if you don't include survivors, maybe you're really not getting the full spectrum of information you need to understand this and maybe even prevent it. Your thoughts on that, Mardella?
Yes. So I'm a 6-year survivor of breast cancer, and I always have gotten mammograms from a mobile mammogram unit. And 6 years ago, they had a problem with it. So then I went for further screening, and then it turned out to be cancer. So I went through a lumpectomy, radiation, and tamoxifen. And when I became the 5-year survivor, when I met with my oncologist, he asked me, okay, do you have any questions? And I said, yes, my main question is now, for the last 5 years, I've been a cancer patient. Today, you're telling me I'm a survivor. What's next? You know, you're filled with everything for 5 years. You're worrying about everything. You're told you're a survivor. So then all of a sudden, you're a survivor. And what does that involve? And that's what led me to cancer support group in areas, because you have a lot of people that have survived cancer, but that never really goes away in your mind. So I thought, well, we need to be able to open a place, open up something so that we can meet and invite those people, caregivers alike, current cancer patients and survivors, and explore that, because this is the rest of your life. It doesn't end when you're told you're a survivor. So that's what led me and two other gals who are breast cancer patients, and we founded a group called the Gathering of Survivors, and we meet monthly and open it up. And there's a lot of different questions. I've learned so much from different patients, different friends. So it's cancer survivorship should be something that is also explored in every community for every patient facing this.
And I'm wondering, you know, the folks in your group, too, of what it's like to be in a space where, you know, people understand because they've also gone through this. Folks, if anything you'd like to share, give us a ring, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Mardella, we're going to say hello to another caller. We have Leanne on the line in Pocatello, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. Leanne, thank you for your call, and go ahead. You're on air.
Hello. My experience was similar to the speaker just before me. I had gone in for many years to get a mammogram, and I did breast exams, and I was pretty faithful with doing this. But it just happened to be that when I went in to see my doctor one time, I thought I better mention this because my a part of my anatomy on my breast was starting to pucker. And I thought, oh, that's maybe it's just my age. Maybe I'm just starting to kind of, you know, go south a little bit. And I told my doctor, who was Dr. Bernadette Corum at the Natsugani Clinic in Fort Hall, Idaho. She looked at it, and right away she said, you got to get in there, you got to get a mammogram, and she started the process. And I was, it was so quick and so professional the way my care was handled. I went through the chemotherapy, I went through the surgery, and I also went through radiation, and that saved my life. And I really just think the people, Dr. Corum, she saved my life. And I think it's so important for Native women to realize that this is something we are facing. It wasn't in my family. None of my sisters had it, but now that I know, I tell my daughter and my granddaughters, you have to be checked. And I also try very hard to change the way I eat, no more processed foods. I like ground bison rather than the heavier meats I used to eat. Exercises, I'm trying to get a little more of that in. And we also, in Fort Hall, they're going to have a cancer support group. You don't necessarily have to have had cancer, but it's for women to go in and speak about it, which I think is really important because with the way my cancer showed up, I looked for a lump. There was no lump, but the physical change in my breast is what alerted my doctor. So I'm very appreciative.
Leanne, I do appreciate you for sharing your story. And are there any information contact in case there's somebody in Fort Hall who also wants to be a part of this group?
They can contact the Natsugani Indian Health Clinic to find out where they will be. They do have the mobile mammogram bus that comes through. They can contact the clinic there at Fort Hall to see when that clinic will be opened. And they do it several times a year, so it's you miss one, you can go in another time. They just have a lot of resources out there through the clinic. I'd really encourage women, younger and older, I'm 63, to get out there and to, you know, do what you can to safeguard your own health and be a participant in it. You know, it really made a difference in my life. I'm so blessed that Creator has allowed me to survive this.
Leanne, thank you for your call. We're glad you're with us. And folks, there's a little more time left in the hour, too. If there's something you wanted to share, 1-800-996-2848. Dr. Robideau, anything you want to share? Maybe somebody is wondering about how Leanne was diagnosed and what led her to check things out. Is there anything more you'd like to share in case somebody is relating to that and they have questions or might be second-guessing themselves?
Yes, so a couple of things. One is that any change in your breast where, like she talked about, an indentation, like it may not, cancer sometimes doesn't make a lump that sticks out,
but it goes the other way. So things seem like they're shrinking or getting indented or getting more firm. So you may not notice a discrete lump like a marble, but it may be just a change in your breast. You need to go to your provider and have that evaluated. And even if you have gotten your screening mammograms, here's the thing, the cancer can pop up in between your screening mammograms. So that's why you have to be constantly aware of your breast and what's going on with it. Also, bloody nipple discharge or clear nipple discharge can be a sign of cancer. Additionally, the majority of women who get breast cancer, in other words, 75% of everybody who gets breast cancer, they do not have any family history. So even if you have zero family history, it doesn't matter. You're still at risk from getting breast cancer, and you need to get screened if you're the appropriate age. And if you have a very strong family history of risk, strong family history risk, including ovarian cancer as well as breast cancer, you may also need to get breast MRI in addition to mammograms and to start checking you at age 30.
All right. Thank you for that. And Mardella, much like our caller, you also mentioned about a mobile breast cancer screening opportunity. Is there anything you'd like to share about folks, you know, really opening their ears when they hear something like that is close to where they're from? Any thoughts on that?
I think that a lot of people are, you know, they're near a tribal clinic, and tribal clinics, I think, are starting to bring those mobile clinics in for mammograms. And I think another important thing is that women should be teaching our daughters, our granddaughters, and teaching our family that it's important to learn that you need to choose a primary care physician or a primary care clinic and start these screenings, learning about these things so that you're comfortable when, and, you know, God forbid you end up with cancer, that you're comfortable knowing that there's treatment out there, there's things out there for you. So, you know, like my mother died of cervical cancer at age 55, and that's just wrong. So then after that, you know, we've always gotten our screenings, PAPs and mammograms and things like that. But we were all comfortable because we had been to the doctor. We had learned, you know, these are things that women should watch for, men should watch for. So I think we need to make people more aware that you don't go to the doctor just when you're sick. You go to prevent, you know, you go to, the caller said, you know, she's learned how to eat better and exercise. And those are things that your clinic can help you with. You know, if you're having diabetes problems and breast cancer, you know, that kind of, there's all that different things involved in that. So I would recommend everyone get a comfortable relationship with some kind of provider and follow those guidelines on when you should be, you know, getting your mammograms and those kinds of things, your PAPs. And
it's all good information. And, you know, sometimes we got to hear it more than once. And Mardella, we do appreciate you sharing. Mardella, there's another caller who wants to ask a question. We're going to go now to Joyce in Yakima, on the Yakima Nation in Washington, tuned in on KYNR. Joyce, thank you for your call. And I understand you have a question.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I was wondering about the statistics on elderly women and breast cancer. I've been getting mammogram for years and years. I'll be 69, and I just had my yearly women's checkup last week at our Indian Health, and I was told that after age 70, I really won't need a yearly mammogram, and that's my question.
All right. Thank you for your call, Joyce. Dr. Rubidoux, any thoughts for Joyce?
That's a great question. So after age 70, it depends on how healthy you are. If you feel like you're just as healthy as a 50-year-old, why shouldn't you get the same screening as a 50-year-old, right? However, if you feel like you're just not doing well and you feel sick and you have many other diseases, then it might be fine to just get a mammogram every couple of years. But I would encourage you to do annual screening so long as you feel like you're doing well and you want to have it.
All right. Thank you for that. And Mardella, we are getting close to the end of the hour and celebrating our survivors. I want you to send a message to anybody right now who may be a survivor and is recently been diagnosed and just kind of feels a little bit overwhelmed with everything they're being told or treatment getting started. Is there anything you'd like to share with them, Mardella?
Sure. Just try to be positive. Try to think positive. Get with some family, some friends. Talk to your tribal clinic or doctor and see if there's any kind of group or any kind of program that you can that would work with you on. You know, get a counselor to discuss things, because it is, you know, you hear the word cancer and you're just like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And you know, even though you know, it's once you hear that word, it's just your whole life is changed, and mine is changed forever. So that's why the support group and the support from people and different programs and you know, even powwows. I've gone to powwows where we've been, you know, people have been honored and talked to about that. It's just, don't go it alone. Find people that you think can support you, and maybe even start a support group. It doesn't take much. It just needs another person, and then it just go from there.
All right. Thank you for that, Mardella. And Suzanne, what do you think about the advice Mardella gave? And is the Indian Health Service following suit and getting more initiatives happening?
I think Mardella gave the most excellent advice is go in, get screened, be supportive of your other family members, friends, community members. Encourage them to go in and get screened. In the Great Plains area of Indian Health Service, we run a mobile mammal unit that goes to all the different areas for screening mammography for people who have difficulty getting in to some of the other healthcare sites. And what we found is that in 2015, 55% of all eligible women receiving care in the Indian Health Service in the Great Plains area had a screening mammogram in the previous 2 years, and that increased from 45% back in 2009. So I think community members getting the word out, our public health nurses do an excellent job with community outreach, is just spread the word.
All right. Thank you for that, Suzanne. Let's turn to Donis. Donis, definitely want to make sure you get a chance to give out any contact information and understand that you're also part of kind of a hub of a movement going on in our Native nations. Any context, Donis?
Well, going back to what the last lady was talking about when it comes to spreading the word and getting awareness out there, we actually have a very successful campaign that's actually just happened on Friday, is our Indigenous Pink campaign, where we ask people to help spread awareness via social media and in Indian country. And that has actually this year reached just over 100,000 people on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And I feel like this is amazing, because that's what we want to do. We want to educate these women and men and let them know that they have to keep up to date with their screenings, and it's crucial. And when we do these campaigns, we have families, communities, and men talking about breast cancer, and it brings up the discussion around the table around breast cancer, which we need, and which oftentimes doesn't happen, especially in Native communities. So I believe social media is another outlet, another tool that we have to use to our advantage. And as far as information, we're the American Indian Cancer Foundation, and you can visit us online at AICAF.org, where we have a lot of resources and materials available to people that want more of that.
All right. Thank you for that. And Dr. Rubidoux, any crucial information you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Don't skip your mammograms. just keep it up with whatever schedule your doctor wants you on, whether it's every 1 year or every 2 years. Don't miss them. Just because the last one was normal doesn't mean that you're good for 5 years.
All right. Thank you for that. And folks, that's going to wrap today's discussion. Again, if there is more you want to share, or maybe you're working on an initiative to get more awareness out of any kind of cancer in your own tribal community, maybe you have a story to share about hurdles overcome or how you'd like to see your community change. We encourage you to reach out, send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And if there's still more you want others to engage in, you can also find us on social media. We're on Facebook, and our Twitter handle is @1-800-99-NATIVE. And thanks again to all the voices we heard, including our callers who also added to the hour. Thanks to Dr. Marilyn Rubidoux, also Mardella Gustafson, also Donis Chosa, and Captain Suzanne England from the Indian Health Service. It's been a pleasure to have this discussion, and we look forward to more. We are just kind of starting the week still, so there is plenty ahead here on our Native airwaves, and we encourage you to take a look at our website where you can see what is coming up. And tomorrow we are preparing for a discussion about offensive costumes in the classroom. And if you have something to share on that, start the conversation right now on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And thanks to our crew here, executive producer Art Hughes, senior producer Monica Brain, associate producer Andy Murphy. Also thanks to Roman Garcia for engineering today's show. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood, and we look forward to hearing your voice on these airwaves tomorrow, the next day, and as we move forward and get ready for almost a new year. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Support for this program provided by the University of Tulsa College of Law, offering a 100% online master's degree program in Indian law. This degree can move your career forward and help you work effectively in Indian country. Deadline for spring application is December 1st. info@law.utulsa.edu/MJIL. As an American Indian or Alaska Native, there is one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native businesses. Exercise your right to vote for the candidates of your choice on November 8th. Your vote on Election Day makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Vote for our people, our land, and our future. Know your rights and go to NativeAmericaCalling.com for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.